In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we continue these Friday evening services, we will study from the Old Testament, first book of Kings, a portion of God's Word that tells us about Prophet Elijah, with that prayer that the Heavenly Father will give us his poor children, would give us encouragement of faith and an outlook of hope during this unstable time. And we also ask that God, through his Spirit, would be calling those who are without faith into his kingdom, to this tabernacle of peace God has promised in his word to give his peace to believers, peace which is above all human understanding. In chapter 19, I will read chapter 1 through 13, a rather long text. And we will study this text. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Amen. dear brothers and sisters, dear service guests, this portion of the Bible tells about ancient times. This time has been dated at 850 years before Christ. At that time, Ahab was king of Samaria. And our text tells us about him and his wife Jezebel. Ahab did everything that was wrong before the face of God, because he promoted the worship of Baal to Israel with his wife. We think of this portion, which I read before this part, is a familiar place for you children and young people also, from Bible class and from the home Bible, where Elijah has fought against the battles of Baal, a battle against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And there, the prophets of Baal set up an altar and called their god Baal, so that Baal would light a fire to the offerings that were placed on the altar, but nothing happened. And then when Elijah placed his offering on the altar, and when Elijah went there and shouted that, "You God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, may it be known today that you are the God of Israel." And then fire came down and consumed the offering and the altar, which had been wet down with water. And everyone was amazed who were there. The situation continued where Elijah had gone after these prophets and they were slain. So what do we know about Elijah in our text? This prophet of the Lord went away from Mount Carmel, which is near the shore of the Mediterranean. Which is near in Lebanon. He came farther south from there. The Bible doesn't tell us when. I can't find it anyway. How long it took for him to come down. But he had traveled a long distance. He came to Beersheba, which exists even today. It is at the south of the Dead Sea. It is very rocky ground and difficult to travel. I don't know, have any of you have tried to go pick cloudberries? It is difficult and heavy work to travel on the bogs in such hot weather, but it must have been heavy for Elijah and his servant to travel in this area of Beersheba where he was trying to escape. A few years ago, when it was a time of peace in Israel, I was able to go there with my wife. We traveled by bus, and I noted how difficult that landscape was there, sharp rocks. And even someone traveling there would rip their shoes. This difficult terrain and the heat of the sun is something like what you have experienced here for a few days. That what is the heat of the sun? It is Elijah went on his escape route because King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, cursed Elijah and said, "If by this time to tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was very afraid and ran for his life. When he came to the city of Beersheba, he told his servant to remain here, and he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush and sat down under it, and he was tired and afraid. And it said here, he sat down under it and prayed that he might die. He said, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." The old translation says, "under a juniper tree." If we think of this experience that Elijah had, this extreme tiredness and this fear that he experienced, that he hoped that he would die. I don't know, are you all so even-minded and calm that you can always believe and retain your joy of life? Or are there some of you, like this poor, weak servant who is now serving you, who at times have heavy thoughts and moments, dark thoughts and dark moments? Children of God may have difficult times in their life. When I was resting in my lodging place, I listened to some of Lirieki's prayers, which were read, that where people ask for God's protection and care. I had a sensitive mind that we poor people have many reasons to ask for help, and it is right that we pray to God for this help. It could be that there is ill sickness, and this sickness has renewed itself and tried us so much that it would feel better to be able to leave this life. Maybe you young people in the world of media saw that you have done terrible things, which seem overpowering, that I can't tell anyone about this, that mom and dad will get angry if they hear what I have done, and I'm ashamed. And then you have a thought that I can't tell about this to anyone, but dear friend, the enemy of souls is good at is putting us into a place where our heart is burdened. I exhort you to take a trusted adult or a believing person and tell this person, even though he doesn't understand all the things on the internet, but he has the freeing gospel and the Holy Spirit that he can preach to you that your sins are forgiven. And if you need technical help for this problem, then you can ask for that also. There may be difficult things that happen between people, and they can bring us to hopelessness. In the papers and in the media, there have been news about children or young people who are considering suicide for different reasons that we don't know about. But in the kingdom of God, there is always the medicine of the gospel available to you, dear young friend. If we older people don't always understand everything, we want to help you and support you. This is a kingdom of grace. And there is no such great sin or mistake that you cannot have it forgiven. Just think of that feeling of freedom when you can unload your heart. Of this difficult matter that is clouding your whole life and bringing your joy of life away. Our prophet Elijah is lying under this bush. It's a bush that resembles a cedar bush. It has many branches, and this is where Elijah lay down. I think that not one of you will sleep under a bush. You'll sleep in a tent or in a hammock, but wherever you sleep, you can remember where Elijah slept. But just think of how good care was taken of Elijah. The Heavenly Father took care of him. A lonely worker of God's kingdom who was feeling so burdened down in himself. He says, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Why did he say this? Did it happen so that Elijah that even though he was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, he was perhaps he had been in this battle on Mount Carmel, that perhaps Elijah thought that when I prayed, then this happened. He may have had such temptations when he thought that there are no other believers than himself. But the Heavenly Father did not reject Elijah. Here it is said, "Then all at once an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.'" This man awoke from his sleep. He felt this touch, and he's told to get up and eat. For us children of God, by faith, we understand what this means. He looked around, and by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. These are a picture of the gospel. There is the bread and the water. It is the heavenly bread. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Sometimes it is necessary for us to be strengthened over and over again, even though faith is not something that we do, that we ask for forgiveness many times. God's grace lasts forever, but sometimes our weak faith needs us to be supported again and again. Can you still bless me again? Our brother might ask, or we might ask when we feel very weak. And it's said here, so he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. It was a long way to Horeb from Beersheba. How long would it take by bus or a car? 2-3 hours by car. But when he was walking, it took 40 days in the wilderness. So God strengthened him. Now, when Elijah came to Horeb, many of you may think the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, Moses. When Moses was a young man, when he was still in Egypt, and gone to the land of Midianites, to take care of his father-in-law Jethro's flock. He was on Mount Horeb. He saw a vision on Mount Horeb. He saw a bush that burned. And there he found God's holiness. But what happened to Elijah there? When Elijah went into the cave, the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? I could ask you, dear friend, dear travel, dear service guest, or you who are listening online, why are you here? Our dear brother spoke about the things that are important to us in life. And I think that here, that we are here for that reason, that we can hear the word of God and be strengthened in our faith in the midst of our travel friends. And Elijah answered to the Lord, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Poor Elijah still has the understanding that he's the only one left. I come from a very small community. Sometimes there were such thoughts that when we are in our houses in the winter and we look and see only one light somewhere in the distance, some believers were thinking that I and the neighbor are the only believers in this world. That's not true. We have a great cloud of witnesses even here. And when we look at this portion of the Bible, we see that the Heavenly Father knows our matters. At the end, we can see what God's thought is. But God doesn't answer to Elijah. the Lord said, go out after Elijah said that he was alone or felt alone. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. So Elijah had to go out from the cave and wait to see what would happen. This is an exciting place. What would happen? There then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. The rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Such a powerful force of nature as a storm traveled by. Next, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. So these great events happened. One of my friends who had been abroad in Turkey had experienced what an earthquake is like. I don't know if anybody here has experienced that. It is very frightening. The earthquake, which my friend told about, was very mild, but he said that it was terrifying, that he couldn't enjoy the rest of his vacation. As people, we may think that the power of God can be seen in such things. In a way, it can be seen. But when we look at the next verse, that what happened after these great events, these majestic natural forces, it said here, but after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. He covered his face with his cloak. It shows that he was touched. He understands something that he had not comprehended so clearly before. Even though he had fought on behalf of the Lord, he was touched by the gentleness, the gentle love of God. Could think in this way, that this experience that Elijah had, God taught him what God is like. It is a question of the two effects of the Word of God. This storm and earthquake and fire are the portion of God's Word that show the demanding law of God, that show man that you are a sinful man. And when it awakens the feeling of sin, it feels like a great storm has hit, that I will perish. And this causes a desire for security. We need the grace of God. And this grace of God comes forth in this way. After the fire came a gentle whisper. The word of God, I am thinking, it pictures the deepest essence of God, which is love, love toward sinful man. The word of God has the fire which drives man to see his own sins in the world today that does not know God. The people today want to bypass these storms and fires and earthquakes of God. But God's word indicates what is right and what is wrong and what is the will of God. And it is good that man has this feeling awakened that I will perish unless you or someone helps me. And the kingdom of God has this beautiful, this great medicine, this wonderful medicine against all sins and illnesses, which is this gentle whisper, the gospel, the message of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus taught this in his time to his own disciples. I don't know if you young people know who were the sons of the thunder. Who were the sons of thunder? We are told about the sons of thunder. One time, toward the end of his life, before he was ascended into heaven, but he was still, he was in this area of Samaria where Elijah had also worked. He was there on a speaking trip. The disciples arranged places where Jesus could speak and proclaim the word of God and call people to repentance. These Samaritans were so rude that they denied Jesus from coming. They refused to let him come. What should we think about this? So John and James were so mad about this, and they said that it's what, how amazing this is that they won't accept even Jesus himself. And it said in the gospel according to Luke, when James and John heard of this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to ask fire to come down from heaven to touch them as it did in Elijah's time?" So they got this human thought that you would get your reward for being so rude. But what did Jesus say? This was the old portion which got angry. But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, "You don't know whose spirit you are. The Son of Man didn't come to condemn souls, but to save them." And together they traveled to the next village. So Jesus knew these scriptures of the Old Testament. And he raised Elijah up, this experience where Elijah experienced this gentle whisper, which we, children of God, feel, and which calls those who are without faith, even today, to come into the kingdom of God, where a sinful person can have his sins forgiven. God hates sin, but loves the sinner. He loves you, dear friend, who are struggling in your own life amidst many trials and feel that I don't have the strength to continue. I have a 40-day journey before me, and it seems that this journey in the wilderness is impossible for me. Nothing will come of it. You can trust in the Heavenly Father, that the Heavenly Father travels alongside you, and your relatives and friends also include such angels. And we can say they are like angels which took care of Elijah under that bush and bring greetings from heaven. Even at this moment, you dear friend, in your own place where you are, wherever you are sitting, or listening elsewhere, you can believe all your sins and troubles forgiven and sorrows forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In this way, we'll remain in the blessing care of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.